Well, today on our Tech for Business podcast, Kyle, our president and CEO, and Todd, our COO and CISO, are joining us to talk about how much is too much technology. So I don't even know where to start, but my brain goes to, how do you decide if it's technology you need? Is it just a fad? Or is this trend something I should get on board with? How do you just start with categorizing technology?
I think in a broad general sense, it's like any other business decision. It's an investment, and you're trying to do an ROI on that investment, the return on the investment. So it would depend on, can you get measurable results from the technology coming into your organization, and or does it mitigate risk when dealing with cybersecurity or security-related sides of those? And that's where it gets to be a very broad or a lot of gray area, obviously, on how much risk reward, you know, when you look under insurance side of that, how much are you willing to invest to sleep better at night and some of those things. There are some areas where it's peace of mind or ability to sleep by making those additional investments into some of the technology tools on the other sides of it. So it has to factor in. You have to look at risk reward or cost benefit of the technology side of it. And that'll obviously make the decision much, much easier.
That escalated quickly. I was just going to go, is it cool? And that was where I was going to start. I agree with a lot of what Kyle said too. I mean, typically a lot of the stuff that when I look at it initially is it doesn't have a cool factor. And we joked right before the podcast started is there a point that there's too much technology? And the answer for myself and most likely Kyle is no. It's really cool. Therefore we love it. And we need more. but Kyle makes a great point. I think in the broad context, to simplify it a little bit is it necessary or does it add value? And there are plenty of times when you're looking at something, and I'll use security as an example of a lot of times security, we are technical controls to put in place to automate processes and stop things from happening. However, that's not always the answer. Sometimes it's as simple as training or an administrative control where you have something as an example, this is a little too technical and probably a little too security nerdy, but I can't help myself. when people try to make ACH changes, that fraud type of fraud, it doesn't have to be a technical control. It could be simple as we have two people that validate that, yes, this makes sense and we should proceed. So in instances like that, you probably don't need tech to do it. I'd certainly still consider looking at tech for a lot of solutions, but there are times when, to Kyle's point, if you're not providing value, if you're not getting back the investment, then possibly that is not the right answer to the question.
It's usually getting the geek side away from the CEO side of it. So I love it, the CEO side of it. But yeah, you're more on the geek side. The coolness factor is it's like, all right, I want to do it. You know?
Yeah. I mean, when we were talking about the topic ahead of time, I was kind of trying to get my head around it and going, where do you come from this? Do you look at it from a consumer point of view, or do you look at it as a business? And naturally, I kind of went consumer first and Kyle went business, which is totally great. But from a consumer point of view, I think when I'm thinking about it, I look at how technology changes our lives, right? I mean, and it's so pervasive in everything we do. Our phones are such an integral part of our lives. I went to a concert this weekend and I was still looking on my phone for everything, whether it was a set list for what the band might be playing, or if it was who are the original band members, or trying to even chat with people I was trying to connect with at the show. My phone was an integral part of the experience. But I was also thinking about it like, you know, people are using fitness trackers and their watches and everything else. And tech is just so heavily ingrained in our lives. That being said, I think there's also times when you can see that tech is pushing a little too hard, a little too fast. So it's been a few years. But if anybody remembers Google Glass as an example, where they were putting cameras in and Google was trying to push this new technology, absolutely fascinating, but it was too soon, too much, too pervasive, and people really rejected the concepts behind it. It's funny, it's coming back again, and it's not getting nearly the type of rejection, but it is interesting to see how that kind of ebbs and flows on a consumer level too.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, all the fun tools out there, especially in marketing, we're always talking about those fun tools that we want. There's definitely a tipping point though in, you know, implementing time it takes to train and then the security and the compliance. I mean, how do you balance that out, you know, and really evaluate the effectiveness and value of a tool or technology?
Again, I think you have to take that in consideration before you make the decision to move forward with that technology. Is what is the expected outcome or results from using this technology? And you should measure it. You got to have some measurable return side with it. Because I think your point is very valid. You can over deploy or do too much that you basically overextend yourself to the point that you don't have enough time to manage them, and you basically have diminishing results because you're spending all this time trying to learn, deploy, utilize, go through it, and you get down certain rabbit hole sides of it that you kind of lose the forest for the trees as to why did I do this in the first place? You know, you can spend too much time into it, and it has to have an outcome expectation associated to it. It's definitely in the business world, for sure. It needs to. You need to have an expected result that you're going to measure with it, or you're just doing it for the sake of doing it, and obviously you're creating diminishing returns and having a negative impact on the organization at some level that certainly wasn't intended, but that would be the result.
Yeah, I from my perspective, I love tech, and I see tech as solving a lot of business problems, even where it doesn't always necessarily look like that's a natural fit. You can be very creative in finding ways to solve business problems with technology. So I'm a huge proponent of those types of things. And what I heard you ask in the question at the beginning was, how do you go about this process? For CIT, we're a bit bigger of an organization, and we are continuing to grow. And as we grow, we make our process a lot more robust. But what it looks like for us is it's typically a team-oriented experience. And so we do the things of what is the business need we're trying to solve? What are the potential options? And in our opinions, you need more than one. You can't just go, that's the tool, and off you go running. But then you start to do the vetting process. Is this the right tool? Let's do a demo. Let's see if we can get a trial. While those types of things are typically going on, there's a whole lot of stuff from your comments about compliance and whatnot. There's a lot of stuff in the background that we're doing, reviewing all the legal documents, the compliant documentation, all of that type of stuff is going into it as well. And then we're doing the trial. So there's kind of two pieces of the puzzle in particular that we're doing is, does the tech match the need we're looking for, but also, is the compliance, the security, the legal, all of the administrative things, if you will, are those lining up for what we're looking for as well? And then usually there typically is a winner, assuming you do move forward. But there are also times when we look at something and we go, you know, boy, this just isn't really what we thought it was, and we reject it and move on and pick nothing. So that does happen from time to time. But again, you need a team to do it. If you have one person do it, whatever their agenda is that's typically going to be the outcome.
Yeah, and I think part of what goes into that side when we look at those technology sides of it is understanding, and just from conversations with our customers and trying to visualize the customer needs that can be solved with those technologies. And usually CIT being, you know, a medium-sized organization as well, to Todd's point, we look at it internally first to say, can we measure the benefits for CIT, and can we quantify it before we go to market with our customers for it? So it's not true of all products, obviously, but the majority it is. We try to look to see if we can quantify the solution results and make sure there's a value to it, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. It has to provide the value. And that's what leads into then that overall vetting of the tools and whatever it may be to determine, does it work? Do we have something we feel confident would benefit a good percentage of our customer base to help them solve a technology need? And that has worked.
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I want to echo a lot of what Kyle just said. Is it's surprising how much problems tend to span industry and companies. Most companies tend to face very similar issues, especially on a technology front. And so when Kyle's getting into the, we're testing it on CIT, we face a lot of the same concerns, issues, concerns that a lot of customers do. So when we go through that vetting process for ourselves, that's really what we're looking at. Is this a fit for us? If it's a fit for us, it makes it a lot easier to make the fit work for others as well. So that's kind of our process. I think it's pretty fantastic. But again, you can tell that I'm leaning towards the tech side of thing is no, there's you can't have enough. More tech. Let's go.
Oh, gosh. I love it.
I can't wait to get the first robot at the office. I'm just waiting for the robot. So bring on the robots. That's where I'm at.
Oh, that's amazing. On other podcasts, we've definitely gone into details about the tools and technology you absolutely need. You know, we've talked about MFA and EDR and all of those things. Is there a situation in which you should be overlapping or stacking different tools? So we're talking about how much is too much and what do I need to get two of or three of and overlap. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I think I'll go first this time. In the cybersecurity world, it's great to have more tools than a single one, right? So if you've got a single security tool set in place, you've got, quite frankly, a single point of failure. But you don't need two of the same thing. So if I've got antivirus and I have another antivirus, more and often than not, what actually ends up happening is they conflict with each other. So if there's too much of an overlap, the tools won't work. That being said, some overlap is fine. So for example, if you're in the security world, you're often trying to protect the endpoint, which is your laptop, your desktop, et cetera. But you're also trying to protect the network layer. So there is overlap. The network layer is going to see things happening on the endpoint as well as everything else that's going on. So in a situation like that, you do want overlap. And I do think where you're going with this does make a lot of sense, too, is at some point you should look at your tool set, your tool base, and say, do I have so much overlap that I have redundancy and I can get rid of some things? So one of the things that we're starting to see very heavily happen in the security industry is a lot of vendors are trying to get more of the pie. They'll say they're trying to do a technology stack consolidation, but the reality is everybody wants every piece they can get. but when that's happening, more often than not, it's more economical to buy the package than it is to have independent tools. And when you get to that point, then you get to have the conversation of, am I getting what I need to still get the functionality I need at a reduced cost? And then at which point you can start to consolidate and potentially get rid of some of the legacy stuff that you had in place as well. So exactly one-to-one overlap, no, but where there's some overlap that makes sense, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think Todd stated that really quite well. And I think because there are obviously multiple benefits of the multi-vendor approach side on it, and very few products will solve, you know, a single product won't generally solve the whole problem. And it kind of goes back to the risk appetite to some extent side of it, where you do have to do that overall cost analysis side of it. Again, the more you layer, probably the less risk you are mitigating. You're having more views and your attack footprint is being more monitored more thoroughly in other areas sides of it, so you can sleep a little better at night. So, you know, all these things, when you, especially in that, you know, we're focusing a lot on cybersecurity because that's where a lot of it seems to happen. You know, that's what goes into the overall thought process side of it, because you're also introducing cost to the overall operational side of that. Each one of these tools is adding additional cost to your overall technology spend side with it, but the more you stack and layer those together and introduce some overlap to have the multi-vendor side of that, are you ultimately reducing your risk? And the answer in most cases is absolutely.
Yeah, this is going to overlap a little bit with the timing. And just so anybody is curious, we're recording this just after the CrowdStrike event. And kind of touching on the consolidation of tools, Kyle mentioned the risk appetite of where you are as an organization. I mentioned single point of failure. This happens on a vendor level too. If you have a vendor in particular that tends to be your single point, if something with them happens, how does that impact your organization? How much appetite do you have for something along that? If you're looking at someone like a Microsoft who's got, what is the number, the five nines, you're up 99.999% of the time. that may be something where your risk appetite says, okay, I'm still good with that, and I'm okay putting all my eggs in that particular basket. But even an organization like Microsoft has diversified some of its stack too. It doesn't do only one thing. It makes sure that it spreads it out as well.
So you just have to run Windows 3.1 like Southwest Airlines along with a modern operating system, and you can keep things operational is what we found out, I guess. So there's security and obscurity is what they figured out. But so half your organization need to run Macs, half need to run Windows, and then you can kind of figure that out. You can obviously overdo it. You can overthink it in hindsight, it's 2020, but that's absolutely right. I mean, you do have to do, you know, I think an analysis of that side of it to make sure that, you know, are you ultimately too much into one particular vendor that if they happen to have a catastrophic issue or something going on, that how does it affect your overall business and how you pivot? And that certainly can spin into a whole nother discussion of off of that event, but that's a good example.
Yeah. Well, to wrap up today, I liked Kyle mentioning wanting a robot in the office. So if we kind of throw everything out the window and you just say, here's a fun toy that I want, what would each of you want either in your personal life or for the business? What fun tech tool or solution would you want to have?
I want Wally.
Wally.
Yeah. That's what I've been waiting for that to come around. We have the little roaming robot that's got, you know, AI and the ability to interact and have a personality. No need a garbage collector per se, but, you know, just the overall concept itself of that, I think, is something that I remember back in the 80s when Nolan Bushnell, who founded Atari, he started a robotic company that was kind of consumer side of that, and being, you know, 13 years old or so, I was pretty enamored with that side of it. And that was obviously way, way before it was ready, you know, and it didn't succeed. But I remember just being fascinated with that side of it. And it's exciting to kind of see that we're on the cusp of it actually becoming a reality now. Now I'm in my mid-50s, so I mean, it's not as would have been cooler when it was 13, but, you know, I got hopes I'll see our old one before I die. How's that?
Yeah, I get to play around with enough stuff that I don't think there's anything in particular, but if I was going to do that, I'd probably go the droid route because I want R2-D2. He's got to have at least a little electrical thing that I can shock people if they make me angry.
yeah, there you go. He goes to the dark side with it right away. He's like, okay, we see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, oops. My goodness.
Sorry. How about you, Mario? What's the tech you want?
Oh, man. I do like the robot idea. I was kind of thinking, you know, we already have got the little Roomba. I want a little droid that cleans everything and knows, like, can sense when it needs to get cleaned. Like, I just want a little robot maid to go around my house and clean up everything.
You can do dusting, toilets, and
vacuum toilets, things. Everything. Yes, yeah. That would be great. All in one.
Yep.
That's good tech.
That's good tech. Yes. No overlap there.
Yes.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kyle and Todd, for joining us today. And if you'd like to learn more or get in touch with anyone on this podcast, please reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. And we'll be back next week with an all new episode.